The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. After having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and you are going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world, but those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said to the disciples, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." It is for God's glory. So often I think that we interpret that to mean that when Jesus goes to the tomb and raises Lazarus from the dead, when he cries out, "Lazarus, come out," when he tells the people, "Unbind him and let him go," that that is where God's glory shows up. That is where God's glory is seen. And it's true. God's glory is seen when Lazarus is raised from the dead, when he is brought stinking in his rotting body back to life, taken out of the tomb and unbound back to life with his sisters. Surely the glory of God is shown in that moment. But I think that the glory of God actually shows up in this story before Jesus cries out with a loud voice, before Lazarus comes back to life, before he is unbound from his grave clothes. I think the glory of God is shown in this story when Jesus shows up to the tomb to Mary. When Jesus sees Mary weeping, when he is greatly disturbed in spirit, when he weeps alongside of Mary, when he comes to the tomb and is greatly disturbed. Several times in this story, it says that Jesus was greatly disturbed, deeply moved, wept. The glory of God is not only shown forth when Lazarus is raised from the dead. The glory of God is shown forth when Jesus weeps, when Jesus allows his spirit to be deeply moved. In the Gospel of John, Jesus is a particularly strong character. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we have got a pretty human Jesus. He wrestles with things. He struggles with things. But in John, everything that happens is according to Jesus' will. There is nothing in this story that takes place that is not outside of his control. This is sort of like the Superman Jesus of the Gospels. And so when Jesus is greatly disturbed, when Jesus weeps, that is not something that is only about the human Jesus and not about the divine Jesus. There is something about the glory of God that shows up to the tomb, that shows up in the weeping, that shows up in the distress of God's people. There is a tension, I think, that we are all holding right now. On the one hand, we are mired in this deep grief, the grief of not being together in community, the grief of everything that we are losing, the grief of not having soccer games or t-ball games or potlucks or parties, the grief of the anxiety that we are all feeling, that someone we love and care about may get sick, that someone we love and care about may die. And so we are living in this place of great grief and anxiety. And we are also, on the other hand, living in this place of hope. We see all of these ways that people are taking care of their neighbors, that people are reaching out to one another, that people are making sure that others have what they need, that people are stepping up to the plate and being in community with one another, even if it's in different ways than we have seen before. And I would like to suggest to you this morning that the glory of God can be found in both of those places. The glory of God can be found in our grief and our anxiety. The glory of God can be found in our hope and our compassion and our gentleness for one another. I certainly find myself living in that space. I have a deep grief over not being with all of you. I miss you, my people, so much, and I hate just sitting in my house all day. It's the pits. I don't like it. My mom is, her job right now is testing people for COVID, and I don't like that one bit. My brother is out of work because he is a contract worker, and all of the work that he does has been shut down. And so me personally and my family, we are living in this space of anxiety and tension and grief every day. And yet this week I got to FaceTime, I did a Zoom call with my parents and my brother, and we all checked in on one another and we laughed and we cried together. Well, I cried. I don't know if the rest of my family did, but I did. And we spent time together and we checked in and we lifted each other up. And we found hope in being together and being able to have conversations in ways that we never would have had before all of this happened. And so in the midst of all of this, we are living in these two places, this place of grief and this place of community and hope and support. And the glory of God is showing up in both of those tensions. The glory of God shows up with Mary and Martha when they plead with Jesus. Both of them say to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And you can hear the brokenheartedness in that plea. Their friend that they know has the capacity to heal people, did not show up when they needed him. And now they have lost their beloved brother. The glory of God is there with them, greatly disturbed, deeply moved, weeping. And the glory of God stands at the tomb and causes it to be empty, calls Lazarus, "Come out, unbind him and let him go." As we live in the tension of this space, in our grief and in our hope, I want you to know that the glory of God is with you, that the glory of God surrounds and fills you, and that no matter what the coming days and weeks and months bring into our lives, that the glory of God is here. Thanks be to God.